Welcome back to Count Pointer Count on the World Internet Radio Network at Podomatic.com.
Welcome back. Second hour, Count Pointer Count, OSG Sports Radio. The fantasy football draft continues behind us.
Welcome to the war room.
Yes, and I finally made it here to find out who's on the rest of my team.
Yeah, really. And I don't. And I'm sure that I'll be catching a good amount of grief as we go. Picks so far, not too bad. Ronnie Brown over there has been giving us a decent amount of grief for being in the playoffs but not winning, considering he's the 0-4 champ.
Yeah. What have you done for me lately?
I know. So I told him scoreboard. He was the 0-4 champ.
You also mentioned the word profit.
Yeah, profit. We win the money every year.
That's right. That's what it's all about. Year.
And while it's nice to win, it's always good to make money.
Yeah. We're a bunch of capitalists. The resident socialist among us is more than happy to be a capitalist in this particular draft. Let's see. Oh, Major League Baseball. Or do you want to toss to the Poindexter bite real quick before we go?
Go ahead, yes. Toss to Poindexter.
Okay. The one thing that we didn't see in the lawsuit... the judgment that was handed down against Seven.
It's the avenues left wide open for the state to do whatever they see fit.
And in the state of Virginia, it could be animal cruelty charges up to 40 years.
Boy, it just adds on and adds on for Seven, doesn't it?
And you know, and the thing that gets me is that Poindexter sits there and goes, well, you know, he bails out early, then he comes back in late, the ultimate gravy trainer, Buster Poindexter.
Because he knew he screwed it up at the beginning.
I know. And then the feds
came in to bail him out.
Yeah, I know.
They did his work for him.
Yeah, and so now he's going to bring in with the same information, and here's what he thinks is going to happen, courtesy of our friends at Wavy TV and WAVY.com.
It's very likely that we will, yeah.
When's that in the works? Is that in the works now?
When we can marshal the witnesses that are not available to us now and the evidence that's not available to us now.
Were you surprised at what has come out of this?
No, not at all.
Why not?
Because we knew most of the things that have been admitted to. We knew that. At least we had witnesses to say that those things had happened here in Surrey County.
Dog bite.
What?
Dog bite.
Yeah, as described in these these admissions that have been filed.
Were you surprised Michael was a part of it?
Yes. Okay, only because everything was rather vague until some witnesses came forward that put him in the middle of it and put him in the middle of it. I mean, the things that had occurred here in Surrey County. You got to understand that the federal authorities had a different goals in mind in this investigation. They had to prove the interstate transportation of animals to support their charges. And that's a different quest from what we had to do here.
Talk about what you had to do here.
Well, it's easy to try to prove that dogs were killed or that a dog fighting occurred. The Virginia statutes are very broad. Very broad. It's the dog fighting.
You mentioned before that there was a case a couple years ago, very tough to prove.
6 years ago. It wasn't tough to prove. It was screwed up by a bad search. And it failed on a motion to suppress. Yeah.
So now that the evidence is all there, you're going to go ahead with
it is
charge.
Very likely that we will go ahead. It's not that often that you see persons being prosecuted based upon similar sets of facts in both the federal and the state system, but it would appear that that will probably be the case in this matter.
Federal charges will supersede the local.
How
it's still pretty
happen?
Important.
How
I don't know.
Happen?
I mean, that's what I'm just...
I don't know what... I haven't seen those comments, and I wouldn't know what it means. I've heard a lot of things, but I don't put much stock in all of that.
So now that you have a guilty plea from Vic and the other three, it's pretty much a go.
I don't have a guilty plea from Vic. I just saw a plea agreement, which I assume is authentic. How it became available on Friday afternoon, when all of this is supposed to take part on Monday, I don't know. But we were able to pull it down from... online.
Are you surprised how big this got? It started in just Little Surrey County.
It's strange, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And there have certainly been other dog fighting cases throughout this country involving worse results, more dogs, you know. But this is the biggest.
baseball now.
I
never thought I would say that.
What, baseball?
That we would actually cover baseball on this show, even before the playoffs.
There's been some milestones.
It exists.
Never pitched to Micah Owings.
No, never pitched to him.
What is that?
Either that or hope his stuff's not good enough to where you can out-hit him.
That's the first thing. Two home runs against the Braves. He had another home run earlier this week. And
well, let's not forget, he was a heck of an offensive player at Georgia Tech.
Right.
And didn't he have a record for best batting average or best home run, most home runs or something like that?
I think it was batting average with Tech. But he's got a live arm, and he's a heck of a pitcher as well.
And on a team that's been kind of surprising this year. They've not.
Yes.
Not, they weren't picked to do very well, and in fact, if I'm not mistaken, they've given up more runs than they've scored this year, but yet they're leading the NL West and looking like possibly the team to beat in the National League.
I was going to say, at one point, they were the best team in the National League. You got to tip your hat off to Arizona, because after the whole ownership change, they really didn't have much in the cupboard. And their farm system has really produced some nice players.
Yeah, they restocked, and it's starting to pay dividends for them. I mean, look at Brandon Webb, who's possibly the best pitcher in baseball right now.
They remind me so much of the 2003 Florida Marlins. Came out of nowhere and became world champions.
There's your chicken salad. Jeez, that's huge.
Wow. Wilkie just ordered a really, really big salad for lunch.
It's the big salad. Shall we move on to the Texas Rangers and their potent offense? 30 runs against the Baltimore Orioles?
Which is odd, because they just had a fire sale there, and yet they still scored a whole bunch of runs. Though I suspect that was a bit of a fluke.
Well, let's hear how it happened, courtesy of Masson.
Bouncer past the mound. Roberts back of the bag. The long throw is not in time. And there's a walk. And there's a walk. Bouncer towards the hole. There's a base hit for Catalanato. So one run will score. Salta LaMaccia will be held at third base. Hard hit ball, base hit left field. One run scores as Salta LaMaccia comes in. Holding at third is Ramon Vasquez. High fly ball to left field, and that ball is going to go. The second grand slam in the game for Texas, and the Rangers now are just laying it on. And there's a walk to Marlon Byrd.
It's happened. You never look good.
Line drive towards left center field. That's in for a base hit. That's going to go all the way to the wall. Byrd is heading for third. He will be held there. And out at second with a double is Nelson Cruz. Line drive off the glove of Brian Roberts in the right field for another base hit. A runner score going to third.
Here. What's that?
This would be a good night for an iPod.
High fly ball to right field. Back it goes. It is gone. A three-run home run for Salta LaMaccia.
Okay, the only thing missing there was a field goal kicker. Because apparently that's all the Orioles are able to score. And what, the Rangers had three touchdowns and two field goals?
But it's typical of the Texas Rangers. I mean, they've always had good offense. They've always put runs on the board. They can't pitch.
No.
But they had decent pitching that day.
Yeah, but that's been the exception rather than rule, as evidenced by the record this year.
Exactly. Well, that's the way they play in Arlington.
What, Jared Salta LaMaccia had 7 RBI. The 8 and the 9 guys had 14 of the 30 runs driven in.
Or roughly a 1 RBI to 2 letters in his name ratio.
Very good.
Thank you.
Nice. Good play.
Sometimes it's advantageous to be spontaneous.
Especially after you've bought a house and gone into debt.
Yeah, but we'll go into that another time.
As I said,
poor,
in the A block,
so
you will
successful
regret it.
Now with this.
As I said in the A block, you will regret it.
Yes. Garrett Anderson, 10 RBI against the Yankees.
Yeah, and you know what? Garrett Anderson and the Angels might be the team to beat in the American League. I know everybody's on the Boston bandwagon. Yankees are playing well, but we don't hear much about the Anaheim or the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim
who play in Orange County at the intersection of the 5 and the 91.
Old habits die hard.
California Angels.
And often hang out at Disneyland.
Exactly, just down the block.
But, I mean, they've been consistent. Nobody really pays much attention to them. And I think they've got enough offense. They've got decent pitching.
What about Seattle?
Seattle's kind of that wild card team. I mean, they've got excellent excellent closer coming out of the bullpen, good offense. They've got all the tools, too. Can anybody name the manager of the Seattle Mariners right now?
John McLaren?
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think that's right, yeah.
Ha ha. Now, let's see. Oh. We're getting our ground rules here. Okay. You have fun.
It's getting crazy.
And I think we go to rapid fire after that.
Yeah, we do. We go to rapid fire and then rapid stew. Last pick of the fifth round. Okay, good call. Nice job. All right. Now, let's see. Oh, we were talking about Seattle, Los Angeles. Oh, Matt. He picks 8 and not 7?
It's always interesting participating in one of these, especially coming in late when you have no earthly idea who picked who.
So you're coming in blind.
Yes.
Though I do. Interesting how we've gone from baseball to fantasy football here.
And hopefully we'll go back again. The pennant races are starting to kind of wind down here. We're about 30, 35 games to go. Who do you see winning, Wilkie?
In the National League, I tell you, it's a wild race right now, especially in the National League Central. You got the Cubs, the Brewers, and now the Cardinals, who are back from dead, challenging. The Mets they're so inconsistent. They look great for like a week.
Well,
and then
I think the pitching hurts them. The pitching's shaky.
The pitching is killing them.
Yeah.
And out in the West, you got the Diamondbacks and the Padres. As things get really interesting in the war room right now, National League to me is really a crapshoot. The American League to me is between Boston and the LA Angels. I know the Yankees are playing better. Cleveland is in the mix. But Boston and L.A. Angels have really been the two teams that have stuck out in my mind in the American League.
All those make sense. I still think what we talked about earlier, Arizona, I think that's a team to look out for in the National League. I think they've been probably the most consistent team in the whole league to this point.
And to me, they remind me so much of the 2003 Florida Marlins.
Mm-hmm. And in the American League, it's somewhat wide open. I wouldn't rule out Detroit. As much as I despise the Yankees, I wouldn't want to play them in the wild card round either.
Well, not the way they're playing right now. I mean, they've really gotten good in the second half of the season.
Time to go.
We must go now?
Time to go.
Well, let's
Can
go
we
to D-block.
Put you back in the conversation?
That's okay. No, I'm just sitting here taking stock of who we have and who we don't. That's all.
Well, let's hear about auto racing from J-Dub. They had the big race at the Bristol at the Big Barrel.
Talk track brother J-Dub.
I'll go ahead and send us to break. All that and more when OSG Sports Radio and Count Pointer Count rolls on after this. How's that for a close?
Good for you.
Best one you've done.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss.
You may not think of yourself as being affluent. You may not think of yourself as a high net worth investor. But it doesn't matter what kind of car you drive or the home you live in. If your investments are $500,000 or more, you're a high net worth investor. And one thing we know about you is that there are 8 common mistakes high net worth investors can make without even knowing it. We're Fisher Investments, and we've put together a special free report just for you. It's called The 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them. It's yours free just for calling 1-800-909-4432. Just avoiding any one of these mistakes could help you better reach your goals now and over time. As your portfolio grows and changes, strategies need to grow and change. That's why this is valuable information you must see. For your free copy of The 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them, pick up the phone now. Call 1-800-909-4432. That's 1-800-909-4432.
My friends laughed at me when I said I could order in French, but when the waiter came, I just smiled and said, "Je voudrais le poulet et le riz."
Millions of people everywhere are learning new languages faster than they thought possible with Rosetta Stone software, and we guarantee that you can too. To prove it, we want you to try our amazing software free. Just request a free demo CD-ROM and see how fast you can learn a language. For your free CD-ROM, call 1-800-331-7525. Discover the secret to learning languages that U.S. diplomats, NASA, and the Peace Corps have known for years. And best of all, there's no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills.
If my friends were impressed by that, just wait till we go to Chinatown next week.
Experience the fastest way to learn any of 28 languages, guaranteed. Request your free CD-ROM by calling 1-800-331-7525. That's 1-800-331-7525.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's time for the OSG Pit Stop with Brother J-Dub.
Buggity-buggity-buggity, boys! Let's go racing!
My friend Guido, he dreamed to give a real race car a pit stop.
Pit stop? No pit stop-o. Comprendo?
Okay.
I'm dropping the hammer.
No, you're not.
I tell you what you do. You just take them dang old spark plugs out, then that little hole, you just put a little hole around there, just like Bobby Unser said, just like it go boom, boom, just like that.
Hit the pace car! What for? Because you hit every other damn thing out there, I want you to be perfect.
Welcome back to Count Pointer Count on the World Internet Radio Network and Podomatic.com.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing sun is racing.
Hey, shake and bake, gal. Woo! Shake and bake!
Now, the host of Count Pointer Count, Brother J-Dub.
500 laps around the Bristol Bull Ring. Track all fixed up, fresh new, got some concrete. We're ready to go. Casey Kane, your pole sitter, won the Busch race on Friday. He loves racing under the lights, or we assume he does after Friday. Lap 36, Carl Edwards in the 99 passes Kane. Inside, got some traffic. He gets a run on, off he goes. It's the first lead change of the race. Lap 64, Kane in the 9, retakes it from 99. Just, it's all about the 9s. 999 for most of this race. Whee! Off we go. Issues, though, lap 125. The 70 car, as you know, Butchie, driven by Johnny Sauter, slows down top of the track, brings out the first caution of the night. We take another look, and Kane, in the lead there, swerves just to avoid Sauter. He did that because, you know, he's in a Dodge. That's how that works. During the caution, the yellow flag period, Martin Truex Jr., 11th in the point standing, he's got some trouble. He's penalized for having loose lug nuts. He had to re-pit, obviously, because jumping in for a cold swim somewhere, not an option. He was forced to restart 26. Truex, a tough night there for the pit crew. Lap 210, Denny Hamlin, second in the points. Broken valve spring. You have to trust me, I'm not a mechanic, I'm told this. Broken valve spring, as you see the car engulfed in a cloud of smoke. That's not going to help him, and it breaks Hamlin's streak of 53 consecutive races without a DNF. It did not finish. It had been the longest active streak in Nextel Cup. Welcome to 42nd place, but he held on. He's still comfortably in the chase. Lap 225, Eric Almirola, A.J. Allmendinger spin out. All heck breaks loose. You see what happens. Jimmy Johnson trying to stay in the lead lap, touches Almirola. Driving, he's driving Martin's 01 car. There's the crash. Johnson perhaps showing a bit of frustration as he goes through there. Lap 334, lead change again. Guess who? Carl Edwards takes the lead from Kane. Dale Earnhardt Jr., the 8 car, slips in there as well. Passes Kane, moves into second. Kane falls to third. On lap 383, Ryan Newman. Earnhardt battling back for 6th. Newman gets in the back. A little fishtail there. Good save. Close call. We're all right. We keep driving. 438, Matt Kenseth tapping Robbie Gordon. That's allowed. Short track, that's going to happen. Gordon gets loose, can't recover, brings out another caution. Take a look from Jeff Burton's car. Don't drive into smoke. You ever see that on the highway? Don't. That's why. Gordon would remain in the race, however. Now we get into a really dicey situation. Lap 452 of the 500, big crash, turn one. Truex Jr. spins out Ricky Rudd. Welcome to retirement, Ricky. Jimmy Johnson, Matt Kenseth, they slam into the back of him. Sometimes you just can't get out of the way. Bing, bing. Everybody here will need 2 estimates to file with the insurance company. And he's in a Snickers car, and he's not going anywhere for a while. Last lap, Carl Edwards in control. You know, you can lead as many as you want. He led 182. The most important one to lead is the last one. He did, the 500th. And then Butch gets a little long on the flip. No Mary Lou Redden. Little long there. Top fives, you know, he simply just does a forward roll back in the hauler. Edwards wins his second race of the season tonight. It's his 5th. NASCAR win on a concrete surface this season. He has several wins during the Busch Series as well, which he is leading. Hamlin DNF, as we said, but he is in the chase. Matt Kenseth clinched a spot in the chase as well. Tony Stewart finished 4th. He's up to 2nd overall in points.
Let's take you out to wine country. Let's see what developed. Danica Patrick starting 2nd in the IRL Grand Prix. Daria Franchitti on the pole. Lap 26, Sam Hornish Jr. will lose control and do an absolute 360 spinorama, but he regains control and continues to race. In fact, he would finish 5th on the 45th lap. Scott Sharp and Danica Patrick come together little tapping there. No damage for Danica, but Sharp would lose ground and finish 14th in the race. Now, on lap 63, this is what ensues. Danica Patrick in pit row, car stalls. So from the second spot starting, she would finish in sixth, still seeking that first win. Lap 67, race leader Marco Andretti in the double box on the right goes into pit row, completes a really quick pit stop, but Andretti collides with Franchitti, who is trying to retake the lead, and their teammates, Andretti's father, Michael, they're very bummed out. Off the restart, Scott Dixon winds up passing Franchitti for the lead. And that takes you into the situation on the final lap. And it's Dixon holding off Emilio Castroneves for the win. Dixon's fourth win of the season, so he takes over the points lead from Franchitti, who finished third. And again, they only have two races left. Franchitti four off the pace. 62 back is Tony Kanaan. And you see the rest of the field right there. Danica Patrick currently running seventh, 195 points off the pace.
Next on Count Pointer Count.
A team can't go 2-5 or 3-4 in seven games and stay in any race, division, or wild card. And that's what's happening with the Braves. Even if the Braves sweep the Mets and Phillies over the weekend and next week, it's too much too late.
Stick around. More is coming up on OSG Sports Radio.
We're talking with Paul Dow from Timeshares Only. Paul, I hear you've just come out with this great new kit that you're giving away?
Yeah, it's called The Top 10 Secrets to Buying and Selling Timeshares, and it's just a phenomenal resource for anybody looking to sell their timeshare.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, first of all, it tells you what your timeshare is really worth.
Uh-huh.
And more importantly, how to sell it for top dollar. Well, there are thousands of people out there just waiting to buy your timeshare. But you sort of need to learn the secrets to getting the most cash for it.
And the kit is free.
Yes, but it's only a limited time offer, so you need to call our toll-free number now, and we'll rush it right out.
Well, sounds like a pretty sweet thing for really anybody who owns a timeshare.
It really is. It could make you thousands of dollars.
Well, okay, the top 10 secrets to buying and selling timeshares. Here's the phone number to call. It's 1-800-514-4750. Again, that's 1-800-514-4750. 1-800-514-4750.
This is Tommy Palmer with a sports comment for OSG Radio.
As bad as I hate to say it, wait till next year if one is a Braves fan. The last week has pretty much sealed the deal as far as the Atlanta Braves making the playoffs are concerned. The reason? A team can't go 2-5 or 3-4 in seven games and stay in any race, division, or wild card, and that's what's happening with the Braves. Even if the Braves sweep the Mets and Phillies over the weekend and next week, it's too much too late. When a team gets 7 or 8 games behind in the loss column in the division race and 4 or 5 games back in the wild card race, then it's pretty much over with. The Braves can cut the margin in the East with a couple of sweeps of division foes. The real problem is trying to climb past San Diego and Los Angeles for the wild card berth. The past 2 weeks have all but killed any chance of a playoff berth for the Atlanta Braves.
For OSG Radio, this is Tommy Palmer.
Do your joints hurt? Do you wake up feeling stiff and achy? Does arthritis slow you down? In Iceland, we think everyone deserves to live without pain. That's why there's a free bottle of Iceland Health Joint Relief Formula waiting for you when you call now. That's right, one free bottle on reserve for anyone listening to this radio station. Just call 1-800-504-8524.
I had some joint pain in my knees, and I don't feel it anymore. It's wonderful.
The arthritis has disappeared.
Iceland Health Joint Relief is a pharmaceutical-grade pain reliever that diminishes inflammation and pain, improves flexibility, and helps build new cartilage. Unlike prescription drugs with harsh side effects, it has omega-3 fish oil, so it's good for your heart too. We Icelanders live without pain. You should too. Call now to find out how to get your free bottle. 1-800-504-8524. 1-800-504-8524.
It's On the Soapbox with Brian Eaves on Count Pointer Count.
What's up, everybody? Brian Eaves back here on Count Pointer Count. We're just a few days away from the start of college football, but I'm talking baseball on the Soapbox. His name is Dalton Carriker, and he may never make it to the big leagues, but Sunday night at the Little League World Series, Carriker was as clutch as Joe Carter as he hit a towering eighth-inning homer to lead the Warren Robins Georgia team over Japan and capture USA's third consecutive Little League World Series title. Before taking the batter's box and forever becoming a Little League legend, Carriker said a little prayer. God, please give me the strength to get a hit and help my team out. And boy, did he ever. There was absolutely no doubt when it left the bat as he easily cleared the 220-foot fence down the right field line and secured Georgia's second straight Little League World Series title. And the best part about Carriker's shot? There will be no controversy. No wondering, did he or didn't he? No guilty pleas, no arrest afterwards, no shootings in the nightclub in a few days, and no congressional hearings. No, this time it will be all about a boy and his team playing a game and enjoying the moment for the rest of their lives. For Dalton Carriker, it will be a moment that he will never forget. If you ever hit the game-winning shot, whether it was on Little League's biggest stage or Pee Wee League in your own hometown, you can recall the exact moment that Dalton will be able to tell his children and grandchildren about. You know the temperature that day, what size shoe you wore, what you had for lunch, the pitch that was thrown, the celebration with your team afterwards, and you couldn't forget it if you tried. For a lot of the incidents in professional sports lately, we won't forget those if we tried either. But we want to. Not so in Dalton Carriker's case. Congratulations, Dalton, and the entire Warner Robins Georgia family. Your 15 minutes of fame start now. And here's hoping we see you again at the game's highest level, still smiling and enjoying the game, not in a mugshot.
Stick around. More is coming up on OSG Sports Radio.
What if I told you that you could put up a brand new building and save up to half the cost and up to half the time as similar conventional construction? It probably sounds too good to be true. Well, just by picking up the phone, I can prove it to you. If you need retail, office, or warehouse space, or if your church or school wants to expand and save money, you need General Steel. Call today, and we'll prove to you that your new building can go up in about half the time, and you'll save up to half the cost. Dial 1-800-722-9020. We'll help you customize your building. You choose the size. You can even add the look of brick, stucco, or stone to achieve the look you want.
If you still think this sounds too good to be true, then pick up the phone and call. The information is free when you call 1-800-722-9020. Call General Steel and find out how you can put up a brand new building in about half the time and save up to half the cost of similar conventional construction. Call now. 1-800-722-9020. 1-800-722-9020.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter retractable awning.
And what about the discount, Jim?
Our Sunsetter retractable awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. It keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
What about the discount, Jim?
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
Yeah, but what about the discount, Jim?
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Come on, Jim.
All right. Well, now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate, so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Ha! Finally, Jim.
Just call now, and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate, along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer, and save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-231-7911 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-231-7911. 1-800-231-7911.
As long as they all relax in town before they resume with a bang and a boom. F-Troop!
Welcome to the F-Troop. John Wilkerson here with you. On April 16, 2007, it's a date that will be forever etched in the minds of the Virginia Tech campus, with the Virginia Tech alums across the nation, as well as the country itself. It was on that day that 32 Virginia Tech students were tragically shot and killed in the worst campus shooting in our nation's history. In the aftermath, Virginia Tech was, for a lack of a better term, overwhelmed by the love and support received throughout the nation. Even Virginia Tech's in-state rival, the University of Virginia, donned that familiar VT logo in support. Before that tragic event, The Nation identified Virginia Tech through its very highly successful football team. And on Saturday, September 1st, the Hokies opened the 2007 season at home against East Carolina, their first game since that tragedy. Joining us is Bill Roth, the voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies on the Virginia Tech ISP Radio Network. And Bill, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, John. How are you today?
I am great. And Bill, I know that East Carolina game is going to be special. It's going to be emotional. ESPN's College Game Day is going to be there. Are there ceremonies planned? And I'm sure it's going to be an emotional day as well.
Most of the ceremonies will be pregame. The university has gone through a lot of lengths to have several ceremonies. We've had a dedication of the memorial on campus this past week. There have already been several events in the stadium. Next week, there will be a benefit concert with Dave Matthews and John Mayer that is free to students and faculty and several other artists as well. So there are several different events planned on campus and in Lane Stadium over the next couple of weeks. But certainly the football game with East Carolina will be the one that, from a sports perspective, that I think will take a lot of meaning. From a national perspective, obviously, with the game day crew being here, it's going to be a very emotional pregame. I think once the game starts, the season will be very interesting as well. The team certainly understands that it has almost an added role, much like the Yankees did in New York after 9/11, and how LSU and the New Orleans Saints had somewhat of an added role after Katrina. And I think that'll be a season-long type of thing. But you're right, the East Carolina game will be very emotional.
There's almost a correlation between you guys and the New Orleans Saints last year, because the Nation kind of wrapped its arms around the Saints. And I get the feeling the Nation's kind of wrapping its arms around Virginia Tech this year.
Well, there were several writers that were in town over the last couple of weeks, and I was visiting with them, and they said, you know, there's grandmothers in Idaho and Montana who have never watched a college football game and don't know the difference between Ohio State and Ohio U and Portland State, but they know about Virginia Tech now. And it's that fringe fan that almost is going to take notice this year. And I think it'd be really therapeutic for our students. One thing that I've said a lot this summer, John, is that college is supposed to be, and for most of us, was a really wonderful 4 years, and you look back on your college memory so fondly, the great friends you made and the way you had 4 years or five of personal growth. And most of us look back on college with such great memories. And for the students who were here at Virginia Tech and that are still that were so affected by this, I hope they can look back at their 4 years and the shooting isn't the most dramatic thing that happened. I'd like for this football team to have a great championship season or two. And just so that they can point back to the way the team responded, much like the Yankees did 8 years ago, and the way that, as you mentioned, the Saints did last year, to have another major event happen, but in a positive way for them during their college careers.
I got to think the home opener is going to bring a sense of normalcy back to campus with the Tech football team kicking it off and everybody kind of wrapping its arms around that football team.
Yeah, it's really interesting. We had a open scrimmage this past Saturday. Virginia Tech didn't have a spring game, and because we had to cancel it. So Coach Beamer decided to open the scrimmages, and we had about 15,000, 16,000 people show up last Saturday. And it showed us how ready they are for football and how ready they are to get back to normal.
We're talking to Bill Roth, the voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies, on Count Pointer Count. He's with the Virginia Tech ISP Radio Network. You're also the seven-time Virginia Sportscaster of the Year. That's impressive, Bill.
Thank you.
Let's talk about this Virginia Tech football team, Bill. And I love that defense of theirs. I love that linebacking core of a DB and Vince Hall, Macho Harris back there lurking in the defensive backfield. The offense has got some weapons, too. And I've been on record on this show saying, Bill, that if there's a sleeper to get into the BCS championship game, it is Virginia Tech. I really think they've got the tools to get in to be that sleeper team in the BCS title game.
Hope you're right. I haven't spent any time looking at other teams in the preseason camp, so it's hard to know where Virginia Tech fits on a national level. And even when you see these polls come out, a lot of that's just guessing. It's going to take 5 or 6 weeks for all of us to get a feel for where people are. I think we'll see for sure on September 8th when Virginia Tech plays LSU on the road. That'll be a great test. They're both really, really good defenses with players that NFL people are drooling over on the defensive side of the ball. I think LSU's probably got a bit of an advantage up front on the defensive line. And I think, as you mentioned, that Hall and Adebi at linebacker and Brandon Flowers and Victor Macho Harris at corner, Virginia Tech probably has a bit of an advantage there. And LSU's replacing a quarterback that was the first guy picked in the NFL draft. And obviously it's going to be a different look for them and a different feel for them. But they've got great players. And then through the ACC, as I look at it, and you look at the players that the Georgia Tech and Boston College and Clemson and Florida State have coming back, you say that those are going to be very, very big challenging games.
You have the distinction this year going to two Death Valleys that you mentioned, LSU and Clemson. That was something that Frank Beamer brought up in Media Days. I thought that was the line of Media Days when he brought that up.
Yeah, big challenge. You know, we've not been to LSU before. Virginia Tech has played LSU, but we haven't had a chance to visit Baton Rouge. And playing a game at late night game, it's a 9:15 kick. It's going to be an interesting atmosphere. But one thing that I've noticed over the years is that Beamer's teams enjoy playing in those great atmospheres. And if you look at Frank's record in places like Morgantown and the Orange Bowl, the tougher venues, they played very well. A couple years ago when Texas A&M and Virginia Tech played down in College Station, I mean, that was a tremendous challenge to go down there and win. And they went down there, Beamer's team did, and it was a low-scoring game, and Virginia Tech won the game. So they've been in situations like that before. But LSU may be the biggest challenge yet. They're ranked number two, and certainly as we looked at some of the clips of their defense, they look to be really terrific.
And finally, I guess the most scrutinized player on the team this year has been quarterback Sean Glennon. And, you know, I got in a conversation yesterday with Mike Hogwood about Sean, and, you know, he's really lucky to be able to be coached by who we call the ACC quarterback guru in Mike Vilcaine, because mm-hmm. he's a guy that brought in Philip Rivers of North Carolina State. He turned Darian Durant into a good quarterback. He tutored Charlie Whitehurst into where he's in the NFL now, backing up Philip Rivers. So I really think he's lucky to have Coach O'Kane there, who's developed quarterbacks before.
And I thought Sean did well last year. He won his last six regular season games. He did not play well in the bowl game. But I think you're right. Mike O'Kane is a guy that has been around. He understands what it takes to be a college quarterback, and he's a good fit for this staff, because they don't need the quarterback to make plays necessarily to win games. They just need the quarterback not to kill you. But Glennon's good. He's a lot stronger than he was a year ago, and it was his first year as a starter. And I think if you go back and you look at guys in their second year, they always seemed better, particularly here at Virginia Tech. I mean, Brian Randall, his first year, really struggled, and he ended up being the ACC Player of the Year by the time he was a senior. So I think that shows you that the quarterbacks, you expect them to come right in, first time starting, and be terrific. Well, that very rarely happens. I think what's happened with Sean is that people always want to see that backup quarterback play, and it doesn't matter where that is. And Virginia Tech's recruited several players that were very highly talented, and so no matter who was the starter, there was always going to be this clamoring, well, let's see the other guy. Well, Beamer's not that kind of coach. He's not going to rotate quarterbacks. And Glennon clearly is the leader of this team, and I'm really excited to see his season. I think he'll be terrific this year too.
Well, Bill, I know you do a lot on the Virginia Tech website. Feel free to plug what you're doing.
Well, we certainly hope fans, and I know your audience is a tremendously computer-savvy audience, and the Kroger-Roth Report is online every week. It's a column that I write, and then our Hokie podcast is on HokieSports.com as well every week. We encourage fans to subscribe to that, and this week we've got Doug Rhodes on there, the new coordinator of football officials for the ACC, and I think it's a real fascinating story, an ex-FBI agent taking over control of football officials, and I think he's got a terrific story.
Well, Bill, I appreciate you taking time, and I need to get up to Blacksburg, Virginia. It's one of my favorite places in the ACC to go to, if not the favorite.
We're looking forward to having
you. Thanks for your time,
buddy. Thanks. We look forward to seeing you.
All right, that's Bill Roth, the voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies on the Virginia Tech ISP Radio Network. Coming up next, it's the must-anticipated kitchen sink. You're listening to Count Pointer Count.
Do you want to own a brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer. Guaranteed.
Bad credit? No problem. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, you're approved for your brand new name brand computer. Call 866-697-5821. Guaranteed Consumer Funding says you're approved. Give us a call today at 866-697-5821 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. Act now. We'll add over $700 in premium upgrades and an MP3 player for free. And with select models, we'll throw in a free printer. So get the computer of your dreams today and improve your credit at the same time. Call 866-697-5821. That's 866-697-5821.
Phil, there's a couple of things you and I have in common.
That's right. We get to talk about it for pretty much... Couldn't get my thoughts organized there.
Brother Phil, there's two things you and I have in common, and I forgot what they were.
We both flub up our lines?
Brother Phil, there's two things you and I have in common. We like to talk sports, and we love college football.
We love it so much that we're going to talk about it every week for the whole entire college football season. We're going to bring our cast of characters with us.
That's right. It'll be the College Football Preview Show right here on OSG Sports Radio. Phil, we're going to hear from the coaches. We're going to get all sorts of insight on college football and have fun with it.
And if we're lucky, we'll even get to take you to a few games. So make sure you tune in, OSG Sports Radio and the College Football Preview Show.
Right here on the OSG Radio Network.
The Count Pointer Count College Football Preview Show on OSG Sports Radio and the World Internet Radio Network.
The stadium rocks and swings.
Now, back to Count Pointer Count on OSG Sports Radio.
Last time around, Stuart Sink, kitchen stink. And do you want to start with that Levitard thing you brought to the table?
Yeah, as you, many people know, the University of Miami is leaving the Orange Bowl and going to, for the 2008 season, start playing their games at Dolphin Stadium. And so Miami Athletic Director Paul D was on the radio with 790, I think, the ticket, and with Dan Levitard, and it kind of turned into what they're going to call Dolphin Stadium when the Hurricanes play there. It's really interesting. Give a listen.
So one is the worst name. You don't want that. 10 is the best name. So you're only allowed to give me a number here to some of these suggestions. Is that all right?
Okay, here we go.
Our pro team actually plays on Saturday Stadium.
One.
No Front Yard Parkey Stadium.
That could be a three.
Luke Campbell Stadium, like Doak Campbell Stadium, Luke Campbell Stadium.
We'll give that a two.
Ooh, look at that. That's good. We Ready Stadium.
No.
That's a zero, so I suspect that this one might get a zero, too. King Dingling Field isn't going anywhere?
No, that's out, too.
How about Fairweather Field?
We've left that one.
All right. We've left Fairweather Field, yes. So you're excited about this, right? On the scale of happy, sad, you are excited about this. More money and hopefully more fans, no?
Well, the answer is yes. We think it's the right thing to do, and for that reason, we think it's a good decision, and we're happy about it. But you can't, you know, obviously there's two sides to this, because the intangibles that you're leaving behind really are a part of the hurricane history that we've had, and it's very difficult to walk away from that. And so consequently, you know, it's sort of a mixed emotion, as you said earlier. We're very pleased with the outcome. Not everybody is. I can tell you it's not universal, because I have a sack full of emails that say otherwise. But on the other hand, I think that if people really look at the tangibles, the better fan experience, the more ease that we're going to have with parking, the better facilities for our fans, everything from concessions to restrooms to ingress and egress, all of the things that having something new and modern to help your fans with, balanced against the intangibles that we've talked about before, the winning streaks and the national championships and all of that. And I'm just hopeful that the new generation of student athletes and coaches that come here will find that being in the 21st century in a 21st century stadium, we can build another tradition.
No blocky stadium?
Where are you coming up with these?
What is that? What is no blocky stadium?
No, that's no. We'll give that a one.
No shish kebab stadium? No more shish kebab stadium?
No, I'm going to have to help you with this later.
No more up to my ankles in urine from the leaking toilet stadium?
Oh, my God. Is it you guys must have stayed up late.
Is it unpopular? Is it an unpopular? You say you got a sack full of email that say otherwise, but is it an unpopular decision that you made today?
I think people that will look at it and say initially that it's a shame that we have to leave something that everybody holds so dear, and that's where we've won all these games, and leaving tradition and leaving a tremendous stadium and a group of people behind. On the other hand, I think that the same group of people will enjoy the improvements that we seek for them as fans, to increase the fan experience and to have them have a better time when they come to a game because of what they've expected over all these years. As every new stadium's been built over the last whatever number of years, 30 or 40 years, they've all had improvements that we've been left behind, that we haven't ever really been able to include in the Orange Bowl.
My favorite of all the names for the stadium was standing in 10 feet of urine stadium or whatever. Or the Luke Campbell Stadium. That was pretty good, too.
Having been there to work a Falcons-Dolphins game a few years ago, maybe they should consider calling it Green Hot Dog Stadium because that's
Super Bowl 33.
Oh, I was there for the infamous CarQuest Bowl between Arkansas and North Carolina, and I just remember them making an announcement for people to come down to the bottom bowl of the stadium because only 18,000 people were in the ballpark, and TBS wanted to see cameras with full seats.
Miami
so we called it the Fan Quest Bowl.
They had to leave the Orange Bowl.
They had to, yes.
I go back to when I was a kid growing up. We lived in North Miami in the Hollywood area from 1970 to 1976. We had Dolphin season tickets in the Orange Bowl. It was decrepit and run down in 1974.
With the AstroTurf, even.
Yeah. And it hasn't gotten any better. It was a bad neighborhood then.
Right. And for that program to maintain any kind of elite status in college football, A, they had to have to improve their facilities, and B, they have to get out of the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, the problem now comes into play is they're 30, 40 miles away from Coral Gables through Miami traffic in order to get there for a game.
True. You want to go to the other stuff now?
Let's go to the other stuff.
You want to talk about your defensive end there?
Marcus Harrison, yes.
Suspended indefinitely after being arrested on a felony drug charge, several misdemeanors. Police report says an officer stopped him just after 11 p.m. near his apartment. Officer reported a strong smell of marijuana. When he rolled down the window, officer asked Harrison to step out of the car. Police report says Harrison consented to a search, told the officer he had, quote, just a pill in a pocket of his cargo shorts. Officer reported finding a small plastic bag containing one blue ecstasy pill, a partially smoked marijuana cigar under the front seat, and another unsmoked cigar.
Well, and when it rains, it pours for Houston Nutt. It's crazy. That's all they get out of you, Phil?
It seems to be somewhat commonplace in college football nowadays.
By the way, the Canadian Football League and CBC had their Heidi moment. It seems like when last Saturday night, CBC chose not to resume coverage of the CFL's Edmonton Eskimos and Saskatchewan Roughriders game because a power outage had a delay at the Mosaic Stadium in Regina, and so they went ahead and showed their movie as scheduled.
So now do we blame the bat for the Jose Offerman incident now? The bat acted independently?
Well, last week we talked about somebody suing a bat.
So now Jose Offerman, the minor league pitcher involved in the fight, was suspended. Jose Offerman is charged with two counts of second-degree assault, suspended by the league. And let's see, quoting Offerman's attorney, I think a mistake was made by him charging the mound with a bat in his hand, but after that, everything is a blur.
Nice.
It would be a blur to you, too, if you got hit by a bat.
The Philadelphia Inquirer's Stephen A. Smith will no longer be writing a column for the newspaper, and quite frankly, he's not happy about it.
Aww.
When informed of his reassignment, he reportedly told his bosses to give him an answer when he's back from vacation in 2 weeks.
Nice. Oh, what about your Travis Henry story?
Oh,
we just call him Travis Johnson now?
Yeah. Here's one for you, Wilkie. Update from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution yesterday. Denver Broncos running back Travis Henry.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Yeah, a little slack on his child support payments due to the fact that he apparently has 9 kids in 5 different states.
What do you say?
Sean Kemp, Larry Johnson. So let's see. He's got 9. What, Larry Johnson has 7. Sean Kemp has 7.
Well, what do you say is congratulations, you now have a baseball team.
Exactly.
Let's just call him Travis Johnson.
I'm going to buy him a box of Trojan condoms for Christmas or his birthday.
Oh, yeah. If there was ever a case for birth control, that would be it.
By the way, have you heard about the Big Ten Network and Comcast and their little feud going on?
I have. They apparently don't. The Big Ten, what is it? They don't. They want primary carriage, and Comcast is saying, "No, you're going to be there with the NFL Network."
Well, it's getting a little crazier than that. It seems as if the Comcast has hired some kind of firm here to flood the Comcast emails with people they planted about their schools not getting coverage, something to that effect. And now Comcast is putting together an ad campaign telling their customers to go to DirecTV because they can get Big Ten Network doing that.
It kind of sounds a little bit like your little runaround trying to get the Versus Network, doesn't it?
It does.
Nice. Next up, South Carolina safety Emmanuel Cook arrested on a gun charge, suspended from the university. I love how this is phrased. Emmanuel Cook arrested on a gun charge and suspended from the university Friday, making him ineligible to play for the Gamecocks.
That's just bad writing.
That is bad writing.
19-year-old player charged with unlawful possession of a pistol, arrested by university police. And the athletic department said Cook suspended from the university because of an arrest involving a weapon. The ball coach, quote, "He's a good young man and obviously was at the wrong place at the wrong time. You've got to choose your friends. Supposedly the gun was not his, but he was with a guy with a gun. You're guilty by association."
You should have done that in your Steve Spurrier accent.
Well, that comes right after not allowing Blake Mitchell in the first game.
That sounds more like Vince Dooley.
Actually, that sounds more like Foghorn Leghorn.
Well, so does Spurrier.
I say, he's suspended.
Boy.
Excuse me.
What else you got? I'm done.
Sonics co-owner Aubrey McClendon was fined $250,000 2 weeks after he said his group didn't buy the team to keep it in Seattle.
Well, doesn't that sound vaguely like your boy Basile?
Yeah, Balsillie, yeah. League confirmed the penalty. League has no further comment. The comments of McClendon were at odds with Commissioner David Stern's stated hope of keeping the Sonics in the city they've called home for 40 years.
I think the NBA's got some bigger problems right now.
NCAA suspended 3 Nebraska baseball players for trading bats for store credit.
Nice. What else do you do in Lincoln?
You want to spend $1 million? You can have dinner with Urban Meyer.
For $1 million, it better be damn good.
Florida boosters are offering a Gateway Champions package to include dinner with Meyer and his family in their home. You can spend an afternoon with him breaking down game film, invitation to the ribbon-cutting ceremony, on-field recognition, and all perks at the $5,000 level. The 59-year-old dude who's playing Division III football. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I heard about that.
I saw the headline. I didn't read the story.
59-year-old got booted out of school when he was a senior, and he's now playing for Division III Sol Ross State.
Sora.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Urban Meyer, 52-yard field goal for the kid. Joey Aegis gets him a scholarship. Rashad Norwood suspended after an arrest at Kansas State. JT Thomas III and Ellis Langster, West Virginia, charged with transporting and receiving stolen property. Jimmy Clausen suspended for cited for having alcohol.
And apparently Charlie Weiss saying that he didn't know the law. Ignorance isn't an excuse the last time I checked.
Simeon Castile arrested on a disorderly conduct charge in Tuscaloosa.
And got lit up by his dad.
And 2 Hawkeyes charged with credit card theft going to places called, what were the names of the stores? Oh, Hat World, Cini Fashion, Sneakerhead, using credits.
Nice.
And that's it for the stink.
That smelled bad.
One thing. That's it for the show.
Hooray!
For action, Phil, for Wilkie.
Sorry I missed the first block.
Blakeney, take us home.
Thanks for listening to Count Pointer Count. Today's show was brought to you by OnlineSportsGuys.com, Distant Replays, the World Internet Radio Network, Podomatic, Liberated Syndication, and ICD Soft. For more information about Count Pointer Count, please visit the show's website at pointercount.podomatic.com or check out OSG at www.onlinesportsguys.com. I'm Mike Blakeney. See you next week on Count Pointer Count.